Okay, now we're going to move on to our next section, which is the consists of two charts. One is the Megatee, and the other one is the Gold Megatee. I would just point out that when I finished the last section, using my headset, I noticed that the sound had just diminished, and I can't seem to fix it. So I'm just using an internal speaker. So it's a internal microphone. So I'll figure out what that is and try to get it straightened out for next week. Okay, so we saw the big picture stuff there, and of course, in the Megatee chart here, which is the first thing we know, you see the same oscillator down there, so there's the same lessons, and I would just point out to you, make the transfer over easy. You can see that from about 1870, okay, to 1929, how the oscillator, which kind of hugged the neutral red dotted line there, and you had these modest declines, and then after this period, which is, you know, it was like 60, 70 years and so forth, you broke to the oversold condition. If you look at the period from 1950 on to the present, you see another case where the oscillator appears that it does not want to go below, except for token lows, it does not want to go below the neutral red line. Okay, but eventually oscillators do go down there. So sometime between the year 2020, you will go down. You should be able to go down into an oversold condition, and that's really what the problem you're fighting. In terms of megatees, it just means the next megatee, number 9, is probably someplace in the future. And we don't know where that is, but it would not come until you can break this downtrend line, the green downtrend cash buildup line, and there isn't any way that the rally is going to be able to do that here. So, and by the time you get down low, you get back into the problem of you can put a center post of a T, but you've got problems. Usually, if it's down deep, it'll come up to the zero line, so you still can't make the mega T at that point. Okay, so that's just the transition of the over. The big thing you remember that is that if you wanted to find out how people come to my site because they read about Pitbull and you know the fabulous amounts of money that were made by Marty and so that's the prototype. But you had to remember that this all took place in the right side of T number 8, where except for the 1987 crash, which is the little wiggle back down on the broadsides. The thing was, it looks like it's always onward and upward. Well, it wasn't really always onward and upward, because there were people who were constantly, every time you get a big uptrend, it's people that are constantly looking for a downside. And the interesting thing about 1987 was that the people who were looking for a downside had been chastened by the persistence of the rally from 82, and so when it came, it was really that nobody was really looking for it. And then they spent the rest of the period after the bottom of the 87 crash looking for another one, and it never occurred. And what made Marty Schwartz the great standout that he was at the time was that he was able to pyramid his money. That is that. He was relatively fearless so he would have large numbers of the full-sized S&P contracts, and he knew how to control the risk and so forth. But it's really about the ability to get onto the bandwagon and pyramid of a big T, and it's always in the big T's. And big T's tend to be fairly safe. The right side of T7 is pretty good. The right side of T6 is a little flaky in there, but that was one where people sort of over-pyramided going up the upside. And if you go back to other places, you'll find out that the right side of the T is always better, but it's not perfect. In other words, there are corrections that you have to deal with. But in the end, if you're in a situation like you have been for the last 10 years, the problem is that you're in a trading environment, and you can never really, you know, just in trading environments are so much worse that you're always finding out that there's a problem coming, and you know, the market gets overbought and it's going to go oversold, and so you quickly have to do things which are of a trading nature, and you don't really get the big run, that's the one that makes the big profits. So it turns out, as the bottom line is, if you want to read about somebody that made a lot of money, it's always going to be on the right side of a T, of a big T, defined by the cash buildup phase. And then when it goes away, you don't hear about the stories anymore. They used to run contests how much everybody was making a lot of money in the SB cutter. They don't run those contests anymore. Okay, nobody's talking about that. Okay, they're talking about a little bit more like horror stories. So the lesson is that if you're not in the right side of a T, you have to make some changes. Okay, so now we go to the second chart when we have the gold mega T. You find out that the gold mega T isn't perfect in the right size rise, but it's certainly a lot better than all the people who are trying to buy gold on the way going down from the 1980 peak and to the 01-ish low. And in this case, gold, because it doesn't pay any interest, it has to go up fast to be in a mega T because there's no income coming from it. So that's a liability in some people's mind. But if you can go fast enough, it doesn't really make any difference. You just get total return is the combination of the capital gains or losses and the interest that you earn. In this case, it's just going to be capital gain types of a situation because the gold bullion doesn't pay anything in the interest area. But you're going to be faced with the argument that after 2020, somebody's going to write a book about somebody made a lot of money in the market, and he says, and what they're going to do is to say, my opinion is that they're going to tell you about how I made a fortune in trading gold, and everybody's going to go out and buy the book in the year, 2022, 2021. Oh, this is a great way to make gold. So they're all going to set their programs up for gold, but the tea is gone. Okay, so it's no longer true. So you have to go through the exercise of trying to find entry points and so forth. If you have bought gold at an earlier time, it's a little bit easier to do the pyramiding operation. So you could gradually get yourself into it and so forth. But that's really what the point is, that you're going to have to, if you don't have some participation in the gold mega T, then you won't be able to look back and look at the time period over the next 10 years as being particularly productive. You'd be surprised when you get into, if you want to have a great lifestyle and having a couple $1 million, which is more than most people are going to have, is because I can tell you can spend money. You can be a single person could require $150,000 a year, a couple $300,000 a year to do whatever they want to do in retirement. And and if you don't have the growth coming in to replace it, it means that having a couple $1 million, you'll burn that out. Okay, if you have tens of millions of dollars, then you probably don't have to worry. You could stay in the treasury. But for most people, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do something. You're going to take some control over your assets, and you've got to have some participation in the goal. Says it's in a correction and you're looking for, but it does not appear to have a blow off yet. This is correction is a buying opportunity. But generally speaking, I would say that the best buying opportunity comes after you have the blow off. So this would not be a major buying opportunity. It's probably one of those little ones that you can get into. And then when you go up and you have the blow off, you'll have a bigger correction. Then you get a chance to start off getting involved in it if you're just starting out on it. But it's better to have had some participation, put up with the headaches, because even though the gold has headaches when you're coming out of here, corrections in the 08 period, right? You've got upside opportunity. If you look at the equity market, you should find out that the best thing that you can do there is go into emerging markets, but that can be a horror story too, because you're dealing with U.S. markets aren't doing very well, but the emerging markets have growth potential, but they also have risks, and in the end, they won't do that much better than the U.S. market, I don't think. So the goal is you got to just solve the gold problem, and there's different ways to do that, but eventually you have to figure it out. Okay, so that's sufficient for this section, and then we're going to go back, and now we're going to go to the daily charts and take a look at the and I can answer some of the specific questions.